Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Cash and Carry Kitchens. We design, craft and install beautiful kitchens. cashandcarrykitchens.ie.
Email todaycb at rte.ie.
From farm feed to aircraft leasing, the government has urged the EU to exempt certain sectors from any retaliatory tariffs if negotiations with President Trump fail. The Taoiseach and the Minister for Trade, Simon Harris, is due to have contact with Mara Sefcovic on the latest developments in the talks today. And as Donald Trump's tariff deadline of the 9th of July moves into view, what impact could it all have on Ireland? Well, I'm joined in the studio by Kate English, Chief Economist with Deloitte, and on the line by Tadhg Buckley, who's Chief Economist with the Irish Farmers Association. And I'll start with you, Tadhg. Good morning to you.
Good morning, Claire.
What's the issue around farm feed in all of this?
So, as you say, we're facing, I think, at the moment, the deadline for the Trump tariffs is 23 days away. So potentially we are facing, from a feed perspective, we import a certain amount of feed from the US, mainly high protein feeds that we cannot easily source in Ireland or Europe. And the fear is that if there's not an agreement by the 9th of July, that there could be a major tariff, a 50% tariff put on that feed, which would significantly increase the cost of it and probably lock us out from acquiring that feed from the US and make us have to go to other potential countries to try and get it with, you know, with more challenging sustainability profiles potentially.
And why are we getting it from the United States?
Well, it's mainly high protein feed, which are difficult to grow in Ireland and Europe. Now, we have grown our area from that grows protein crops in Ireland, mainly beans, has gone up to 18,000 hectares in 2024, which is a record high. But even with that, we still do not have anywhere enough protein feed to be able to cover, to supplement our livestock during periods where they need higher protein feed. So it's mainly when cattle are indoors during the winter period where you will not be able to, they will not have enough protein in their diet. So about 90% of their diet is actually grass or grass-related feed. But for the 10% that they receive when they're indoors, supplement feed, getting protein into that can be challenging. To try and balance it from a livestock diet perspective.
So I'm sure that you and the farmers that you represent are out looking now for other sources in case this comes to pass. So where else might we go to get this feed?
Well, aside from native sources, you're looking at South America predominantly, Claire, as the place where you would be going to try and source that meal if you can't get it from the US.
Mm-hmm. And that means a price increase, does it?
Yeah, absolutely. First of all, it means a price increase. And secondly, you know, from a sustainability perspective, there would always be, you know, it's probably North America would be a better profile in that side of it. So you would prefer to have a balance, certainly, of having the option in North America. The last thing you want to do is see that, or the US, see that that source shut out.
Mm-hmm. So what's the message then that you want Simon Harris to deliver to Mara Sefcovic, who's in charge of this entire negotiation with the United States?
Well, when you look, I suppose, in terms of those protein feeds, the EU is a significant deficit. It's not just Ireland has this challenge. This is a challenge across all countries in the EU. So from that perspective, we don't want to see those feeds being on the retaliatory list from an EU perspective, given that we want to try and make sure that we can avoid a situation where where the EU is putting a tariff on this product coming from the US and then making it us locked out from acquiring it.
Yeah, and then feed isn't the only thing that would be impacted here from an agriculture point of view. What else are you concerned about?
Well, I suppose on the other side of it, if you have a situation where EU exports then are tariffed by the Trump administration, it would particularly revolve around dairy and whiskey. So dairy in particular, butter, we export about €500 million or maybe more of butter annually to the US. And then from whiskey perspective, Irish whiskey, it's a massive market for Irish whiskey. About half of all our Irish whiskey goes to the US. And that has a big impact then potentially on our tillage sector, supply the malting barley for that market. So really, you know, that's a very, very serious concern for us if there's not a positive outcome to these trade negotiations.
Right. And do you feel that these arguments that you're making are being heard?
Well, I think there is an appreciation of the size of these markets for, from an Irish perspective. And I think there we know that other EU member states have concerns as well, particularly around the drink sector, with the likes of the French wine industry being heavily exposed to the US. So I think there's an understanding that this is a key issue. But at the same time, we would be very concerned that we're running up towards this deadline now, and we still have not seen any reported progress in these EU-US trade negotiations.
Yeah, that's for sure. Well, that's what we're trying to get to the bottom of now. In the coming days, we'll be trying to find out where these negotiations are heading. Tadhg, thanks so much. Tadhg Buckley there from the Irish Farmers Association, and Tadhg is chief economist with the IFA. And as I said, Kate English from Deloitte is here with me in the studio. We were all worried about the 2nd of April at one point. We're way past that date. So now all focus on the 9th of July. But we don't really know, do we, where the negotiations are at?
We know very little of where the negotiations are at. As you said, all focus now looks to the 9th of July, 23 days left to that deadline. And we've gone through a period of kind of quiet on the front from a US and a European perspective over the past few weeks. There is a lot of work happening behind the scenes, we would assume, but unfortunately, we don't really know where we sit. And we have seen some of that calmness or quietness come through markets in recent weeks as well. But unfortunately, we are in an element of unknown.
Mm-hmm. So when it comes to Irish sectors that should be particularly concerned, and we heard from agriculture there, and they obviously have concerns, as Tadhg told us, around the feed that they're bringing in, but also the dairy and the drinks that we're sending out. What other areas are particularly worried?
So we're back to, again, looking at pharmaceuticals. We're looking at aviation, that aviation ecosystem in particular. We get, obviously, we're heavily reliant on US-made spare parts here within Ireland. Our pharmaceutical sector, we spoke an awful lot about ahead of the April 2nd deadline. Why did we do that? It was because our exports on value basis are heavily reliant on pharma. They account for a very large share of our overall exports, and the US dominating that. Of course, so far they have been exempt from any tariffs announced to date, but there is a belief that they will come in under the crossfire once again. And I think it's important to remember here that all of these sectors are exposed in different ways. Some of them are exposed directly, with the US being the key export market for their end products. But in other ways, it's the US market feeds heavily into that supply chain, so has indirect impacts more so on their inputs that feed into the end product, which comes a lot more through that agri sector, as Tadhg explained. And all of this is impacting our overall economic outlook at the moment. We have seen downward revisions to forecasts announced by the likes of the central bank, the ESRI. But even within that, it's very, very difficult to model economic outlook at the minute, given we are in an unprecedented scenario, and we also don't know what the scenario will be going forward.
But is it having an impact on consumer behaviour yet?
We're seeing a mix. So when it comes to consumer behaviour, not yet. So any data that we have released, for example, we've gotten VAT receipts from Exchequer results only 2 weeks ago, retail sales data. They continue to show consumers are spending. And equally so, last week we had data released by the CSO for the savings ratio, which had it relatively stable. And that I was quite surprised by. In one respect, I expected to see that figure rise, increase. Why? Well, consumers are worried. We have seen the consumer sentiment dip. And that would make you think that consumers would save more. If they're saving more, they're spending less. And that would impact economic output. But we haven't seen that.
Mm-hmm.
But of course, I would put a huge caveat with all this, of that all that economic data is lagging. It brings us up to, at best, May. And we really still don't know of how consumers will react to this as the year moves on.
We're in wait and see, aren't we?
We're in wait and see. And in that period of unknown, you know, uncertainty comes with a cost. you know, and that cost we are seeing come through businesses and business making decision as well. And again, it all comes back to what part of the economy you are acting in, how exposed you are indirectly or directly. And that's what we're seeing with daily conversations with clients as well.
Mm-hmm. And of course, you know, we know that Simon Harris is having this conversation with Mara Sefcovic, whose job it is to negotiate with the United States on behalf of the EU. But he has a job to do, and the EU will have to fire back in some capacity. So how loud is the Irish voice in that whole calculation?
I honestly don't know. I think it's every EU's country is going to be doing what Ireland is doing at the moment, yeah, and putting forward their case. Where are you most exposed that you are trying to reduce the impact? I think there's no scenario where there is no impact to the Irish economy from this, but we're trying to protect at least some sectors or some elements that are particularly exposed. And every other party will be doing that as well. And I suppose until we get some sight of what is coming out from the EU, we don't know what will be the outcome. And I think that's why we're, as I said, we're down to 23 days now. What comes out over the coming weeks will be of vital importance to us. And unfortunately, we are in a wait and see approach, but from a government level, continuing to put forward the case for Ireland and where we are exposed.
So how do you advise clients now who might be in the business of export or import and they're trying to prepare for the 9th of July and you're saying, well, we don't know what's coming down the track?
In some respect, it all comes back to how you are exposed. So we have some clients who are directly impacted. The US is a key market for them to sell their goods to. And they've been firefighting almost with this since April 2nd. And that continues. Some of that looks to, well, how can you reduce your exposure to the US? What other markets can you look to? And the same is with those that may not have the US as a direct market to sell goods to, but are reliant on them for their input products. So it impacts their greater supply chain. So for that, it's looking at, well, how do you potentially regionalise that supply chain? What other markets can you get some of your key inputs to reduce not only cost, but also uncertainty? And the last part is we have clients who actually aren't impacted directly by tariffs at all, but where their exposure is, if there is wider economic fallout from this, they are reliant on a strong consumer here with Ireland, within Ireland, and they're looking to see how do we approach this. I think one interesting piece that has come out in our recent conversations with clients, particularly the further we've moved away from April 2nd, is there's now a little bit of an acceptance or a realisation that uncertainty, unfortunately, is here to stay for the coming years. And perhaps we have become a little bit lax on placing so much faith on our current supply chains or certain markets. And it's taking those businesses that are either directly or indirectly impacting, kind of taking a step back and go, how resilient is our business model over the long term? Not only to the shocks that are being created by tariffs coming from the US, but if we were to see other changes to the supply chain over the coming years. And I think that's an interesting dynamic, and it kind of changes a little bit away from, yes, all eyes are on the 9th of July because it's critically important. But even with work around that ongoing, they're looking to see, if we move beyond this, where else are we exposed that we need to reduce that exposure for if something like this was
planning,
to occur again?
Planning for the worst, which it's is planning. Always a good thing to do, isn't it? And hope for the best, but make sure your backup is there.
Yes, both from your supply chain base, but also your consumer base. How can you make sure that that isn't overexposed in any one area? And that's a big change from where we were on April 2nd.
Kate, we will talk again as we get closer to that 9th of July date, but for now, thank you very much. That's Kate English, who's chief economist with Deloitte. Let's go to the newsroom now, and we're going to take a quick break and then we'll go to the news after that.
Text 51551 today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1.